Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Lighthouse Baptist Church live stream. Glad that you could join us. We're going to be in the Gospel of John, chapter 10 this morning, and verse number 1. John 10 and verse number 1. And as you find your place there, I would invite you, even though you're at home there, why don't you stand with me for the reading of God's Word as we honor His Word this morning as you find your place. John chapter 10. Verse number 1, nobody's going to know if you do or not. That's between you and the Lord, but I'm inviting you to stand with me. And one of the things I miss about meeting together is just as we stand and honor God's Word and read His Word together. Bear with us as, you know, things change day to day. If you know me, I have a goal to get back together and to meet together again. But we're just really trying to be flexible. As things continue to change and progress and things are slowly opening back up. So it is our goal to meet back together. We're making plans and putting things in place to be able to do that. We don't have a date set in stone for that yet. As soon as we do, we'll let you know as we get closer to that. But you bear with us, be patient with us as we figure all that out. John chapter 10, verse number 1. Title of today's message is, I am the door. I am the door. God's word says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Verse number 6. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And then verse 10, it says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Let's pray together. Father, I pray and ask that you would bless the reading and preaching of your word this morning, not just here at LBC, but all across our county, state, and nation, and world. Lord, I pray that your word would not return void this morning, but that someone who is outside of you, who has not been saved, that today, God, that they would come to that precious door of salvation, your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. If you're standing with us, you may be seated at this time. We are now in part 3 of our new sermon series called I Am. We're studying out the 7 I Am statements of Jesus. And there are a lot of opinions on who Jesus is. Maybe you have your own personal opinion on who Christ is. But Jesus told us exactly who he was in the Gospel of John. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the shepherd. I am the resurrection. Can't wait for that one. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, I am the true vine. 7 times, 7 I am statements. Every time Jesus said, I am, it was a direct quote from the Old Testament when God said that he was the great I am. And every time Jesus says, I am, he is declaring to you and to me that he is the eternal God. It is so clear from Scripture that Jesus claimed to be God. It's so ridiculous and asinine that anyone would try to argue from the Bible how Jesus is not God. It's so clear and so obvious by the statements that Jesus made. I don't know anything else he could have said to try and convince you of who he said he was, which is the eternal God. Maybe outside of saying that him and God are the same person. Oh, wait a sec. He did that in John chapter 10, verse number 30, later in this same chapter. He said, I and my Father are one. There is no getting around it. Well, maybe he meant, no, friend. It is so obvious. Jesus claims to be God. The Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon, once said, I never care to read any arguments about the deity of Christ. I should as soon think of reading a book which sought to prove the existence of my mother. Remember, every time, every I am is an affirmation of his deity. This morning we study what Jesus meant when he said, I am the door. This passage actually contains two of the seven I am statements that we are studying out. It's the same story, the same context, the same background. And I almost thought, well, maybe I combine these two, the I am the door and I am the good shepherd, into one sermon. But you guys know me better than that. You know, it's imperative to keep in mind that when we come to a new chapter in the Bible, that doesn't mean that what happened in the previous chapter has finished. As a matter of fact, in our text today, chapter 10 is really just a continuation of what started in John chapter 9. I don't have time to rehash all of it, but it's important that you know some of the background as we get into this wonderful passage this morning. The story begins in John 9 with Jesus healing a blind beggar. And people are in such disbelief at what has happened that they take this man and they bring him to the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees were the judges. They were the religious rulers in that day. And the Pharisees say, well, tell us what happened. So this man who is blind says, well, Jesus came and he put clay on my eyes. Then he told me to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And when I did, I received my sight. And they said, well, what about the guy who you say healed you? He said, well, he's got to be a prophet. Now, they didn't like that. They hated Jesus. So they say, well, that can't be so. And they start to question whether this guy was even blind to begin with. He's faking it. So they say, go get his mom and dad. Bring mom and dad here. They're going to give us a real story. So sure enough, they bring in mom and dad. Now, his mom and dad are terrified because they know if they affirm what Jesus did, they're going to be excommunicated from the synagogue. They're going to be kicked out of the synagogue. Now, the synagogue is like the Jewish equivalent to a Christian church service, okay? And so if they affirm what Jesus did, they're going to be kicked out. So they don't want to say anything. So they just say, well, what we can tell you is when he was born, he was blind. And how this all came to be, we're not really sure. He's old enough, why don't you ask him? So they bring in this man who is blind, the beggar, once again. He says, tell us what happened. You understand the man you are claiming healed you is a sinner? You know that? And the blind guy says, look, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But what I do know is I was blind and now I see. And because he will not deny what Jesus did, they throw him out of the synagogue. And as I studied this out this past week, this wasn't like a temporary thing. This practice of excommunication from the synagogue, when he is thrown out, he's never allowed to come back again. It's as if he is cut off from Israel. Jesus hears about what happens to this man, and he goes to him. The man confesses, puts his faith in Christ for salvation, gets saved, and begins to worship Jesus. You know, we have some friends of ours and their members here at LBC who have traveled to Ethiopia. And they've told me that in certain places, certain churches in Ethiopia will not allow certain people to come in because they feel as if they are too, they see them as being too wicked or too sinful, so they're not allowed to come into the church. Here in this story of John 9 with the blind beggar, while religion slams the door in this man's face, Jesus says, "I am the door. If you come through me, I will give you everlasting life." And it is on that background that we pick up in John chapter 10. See, the Pharisees see and hear that this man is worshiping Jesus. They don't like that. So Jesus says to them in verse 1 of John 10, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Now, there are a few terms that you're going to want to know so that we can better understand this great passage. The culture in which Jesus lived, shepherding was a very, very common thing. For all the people listening to Jesus teach, they would have had some experience with sheep and with shepherds. Maybe they had talked to a shepherd earlier that day or had seen one, and they probably had daily interaction with sheep. Now, for those of you who are watching or listening, myself included, we have very little experience with sheep. Now, there are some of you who grew up on a farm, or maybe you own sheep or live on a farm now. You have some animals. But for the majority of us, we have had little to no interaction with sheep on a weekly basis. Now, I have had some experience with sheep in my life. A while back, I was at Pastor Ryan Bevan's house. And he's the senior pastor at Lighthouse in Chillicothe. It was myself, Brother Matt Stallings, who's pastor at FBC Ashland. And we were over at preacher's house. I'm not sure why we were even there, but he had these sheep. And he was talking about these sheep, and we were kind of listening as he was explaining about them and telling us all about them. And then he started talking about how fast these sheep were. And I'm thinking, a fast sheep? That's an oxymoron. There is no such thing as a fast. They don't even have any knees. They just got the little, you know. There is no such thing as a fast sheep. What are you talking about, a fast sheep? And he started explaining how quick they were. And he said that how he and the family really couldn't even get close enough to touch one of these sheep. Me and Brother Matt, I think we looked at each other and we took that as a challenge. I think I even said, you know, I could touch one of those sheep. And he said, "Look, you can try if you want. I'm just saying they're a lot faster than you think." I'm like, "Yeah, I could touch one of these sheep, no problem." So me and Brother Matt, we start walking over to these sheep, and we're going to touch one. Now look, we're not doing the bull rush approach. We're going to sneak attack them and then pounce at the right moment. So we're sitting there, and we're getting a little bit closer, slowly approaching them, and then they start to notice that we're coming towards them with some sort of intentions. So they start getting a little jittery. And then we think, all right, now's our time. We got to pounce. We got to attack. So we lunge at these sheep. We take off and we jump at them and try and go grab them. And as soon as we do, these sheep, this cloud on the ground, I mean, these sheep take off like a bolt of lightning. They are out of there. It's the fastest sheep I've ever seen in my life. They are just whoosh. They scatter. And it gets down to about me and one other sheep. And he's looking at me. I'm looking at him. I'm breaking down football stance just like Coach Davidson taught me. And I'm like, all right, I've been preparing for this. I'm going to get this sheep. And he threw a juke move on me. He hit me with the bat, and I'm telling you, he juked me out, broke my ankles. I fell down. This is the Barry Sanders of sheep, and he takes off just trotting away as I'm sitting there in what later I found out was not mud, thinking, good night, those sheep are fast. And he won the battle. Now, I did have another interaction with that sheep, and I may share more of that next week. But that's about all my experience with sheep. Maybe you, like me, you don't have much. But it's important for us to know, because we're sort of removed from that, or we're not really a part of that lifestyle, that you have to understand some of the sheep terms that this passage uses. Jesus specifically talks about a sheepfold. Well, what's that? And then the door to the sheepfold. Let me explain what a sheepfold was. See, during the day, the shepherds would lead their flock of sheep, and they would bring them beside the still waters, and they would bring them into pastures. But at nighttime, they would go into a sheepfold. A sheepfold was a type of a pen. And it was nothing more than a rough circle of rocks piled up into a wall. Sometimes I've heard they may have briars around the top to act as sort of a barbed wire. And then there was a small open space in the stone where you could go in and out. Through that small opening, the shepherd would lead his sheep at nightfall. Now, since there was no gate, just an opening, the shepherd would keep the sheep in and the wild animals out by laying across the opening. And he would sleep there, in this case, literally becoming the door to the sheep. Jesus starts talking about thieves and robbers. The Pharisees are the thieves and robbers trying to climb over. But John 10 and verse 4 tells us this. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 5 says, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. You see, in that day, and really in shepherding, there is a relationship between the shepherd and the sheep that is so tremendous that the sheep will hear the shepherd's voice and follow that shepherd. They will not follow the voice of another shepherd. Now, for Christians, be sure of this. If you are truly in Christ, you will not follow the voice of another. As believers, if we are truly in Christ and we are part of his flock, we will not follow the voice of Brigham Young or Joseph Smith or Muhammad or the Pope or any other false prophet. Those who are his sheep will not be deceived by another. And there's a lot of security in that, isn't there? In 1 John chapter 2, in verse 19, it says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Look, when you enter the door, you become his, he becomes yours, he knows your name, and you know his voice. John 10 and verse 6, Jesus continues, he says this. It says, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. And when it says them, who's it talking about? Who are them? Well, them are the Pharisees. Jesus is not preaching to the choir. He is confronting these false religious believers. And they don't get it. They don't understand. Now, look, my 9-year-old son who's watching this stream, I completely believe he is going to understand what I'm teaching and what I'm preaching today. He's going to be able to comprehend it and understand what Jesus meant when he said, I am the door. If you come through me, you'll be saved. So why is it that these grown men who had spent all of their life studying the scriptures, the Old Testament, who were very well learned and very well taught, why is it that Jesus' teaching just went over their head? Why don't they understand? It's simple. Jesus gives a simple illustration, but they don't get it because they don't want to get it, friend. They don't want to understand. Their unbelief has blinded them to the truth. So Jesus, he tries to simplify it as much as possible. He's using illustrations, and then he just comes right out and says it. Verse number 7, look there. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. It's me. I am the door. He uses the words verily, verily, or truly, truly. There were certain times in Jesus' ministry where he tried to really grab the attention and the focus of the crowd. And oftentimes he would say, verily, verily, which just meant amen, amen. It was a way of sort of reeling people in. And this is one of these moments. This verse doesn't say that Jesus is a door or one of the doors. It says he is the door, as in the only door. Now listen, there are many doors that lead to hell, but there is only one door that leads to heaven. In this context, Jesus is telling them that he is not only the shepherd of the sheep, but he is the door to the sheep. And he makes it very clear, any other religious leader that tries to offer salvation in anything other than Christ, he says they're a thief and they're a robber. This is perhaps one of the most politically incorrect things that Christ said. Here, Jesus sets heaven apart as exclusive, not inclusive. And people take great offense to this. Our culture wants many ways. And the Bible says, listen, there aren't many ways. There's one way. The world wants the broad path where everybody can just hop on. And the Bible does talk about a broad path. In Matthew 7, verse 13, it tells us about this broad path. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Verse 14 says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Maybe you think, well, Pastor Nate, how do I keep from going on the broad path? Listen, I got bad news for you. You're on it right now if you're not in Christ. You are born on that broad path. The only thing you need to do is nothing if you want to stay on that broad path, which leads to destruction. The pluralistic society that we find ourselves in has no problem with God as long as there are many ways of accessing him. But even if God made 1,000 ways to him in the world would still cry for 1,001. And look, this isn't my truth. This isn't Nathan Woodworth's way to heaven. No, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that he died and he was resurrected on the third day through his own strength and own power. I believe he is who he says he is. And he says this is the way. It is him that says he is the door. I'm not trying to twist his words to make the path narrow. He made it narrow. He said it is narrow. And maybe you think, well, how in the world could you be so narrow-minded and so bigoted to believe in such a God that would only give one way? You don't get it. That's exactly what amazes me. That God gave a way. He gave a way, even one way, when he didn't have to give any. Listen, if God sent his son in the world to bear every sin you ever committed, and then he kills him in your place and says, if you put your trust in Jesus, then God is going to forgive every sin you've ever committed. You will live forever with no more disease, with no more darkness, no more pain, no more sin, no more suffering. And you're going to look at God and tell him that he hasn't done enough? We are so arrogant that we demand God give us 1,000 doors into the sheepfold when he doesn't owe us one. Praise God for that precious and beautiful door, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2 and verse 18 says, for through him, that's Jesus, folks, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Look, I've walked through many doors in my life. I've walked into quite a few doors in my life. But I've only ever walked through one door that gave me eternal life. And that was Jesus. How tragic that many messages today will be preached highlighting the blessings that come from following Christ. The benefits from being a follower of Jesus. But they'll leave out the door. They'll hardly mention Jesus himself. There are far too many messages without the Messiah. Far too many sermons and not enough Savior. Far too many conversations in the church and not enough messages about Christ. As one old preacher put it, leave Christ out? Oh, my brethren, better leave the pulpit out altogether. If a man can preach one sermon without mentioning Christ's name in it, it ought to be his last. Certainly the last that any Christian ought to go hear him preach. A sermon without Christ is like a brook without water, a cloud without rain, a well which mocks the traveler, a sky without a sun, a night without a star, a place of mourning for the angels, a place of laughter for the devils. Yes, it is Christ. Christ whom we preach, and if we leave him out, we leave out the very soul of the gospel. What good is a sermon without Christ? When you leave Jesus out of the message, you are removing the door. Many preachers today, everywhere, lead the lost to the gates of heaven, and they are able to kiss the walls and even peek over and see some of the eternal glory that waits on the other side. But how tragic that they never show them the door. There are far too many doorless sermons. The Apostle Paul said, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus says, if any man enter in this door, he shall be saved. Somebody asked me before, what do you mean saved? We don't do the whole saved thing at my church. I thought, what? What do you do then? Why do you do what you're doing if you don't do the whole saved thing? You don't do the whole Jesus thing? You don't do the whole eternal life thing and heaven thing? Somebody said, well, what am I being saved from? Saved means to be rescued, to mean to be delivered, to be saved from the final judgment. Jesus says, I am the only door, and if you pass through me, you will be saved from that judgment of your sin. Repent, enter in, and be saved. In John 10:9, he says it one more time, just so that we really get it. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. If any man, here again is this repetitive invitation to receive him. He keeps asking them, do you want to come in? At the end of verse 9, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And then it says this, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, what does this mean? To go in and then to go out? Well, I'll tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that you can lose your salvation. Jesus is not saying, if you come in, I'll know your name, I'll call you by name, you'll know my voice, but if you sin, I'm going to kick you out of the sheepfold. And then you got to sneak back in, and then if you mess up again, I'm throwing you out. That's not what he's talking about at all. Listen, this is talking about the freedom that we have in Jesus. That Jesus leads us out in the day beside the still waters. He leads us into green pastures. But at nighttime, he leads us back into the sheepfold for protection. Charles Spurgeon spoke of a story about some Russians who were crossing wide plains studded over here and there with forest. I want you to think of something. As a shepherd would lead his sheep into the sheepfold at night, remember, he would lay across as the gate becoming the door. Jesus doesn't say, I am the way to the door. He says, I am the door. What greater security has the church of God than that the Lord Jesus is between us and all of our enemies? Back to Spurgeon's story. He said some Russians were crossing a wide plain, studded over here and there with forest. He said the wolves were out, and the horses were rushing forward madly. The travelers could hear the howling, and though the horses tore along with all speed, yet the wolves were fast behind. And they only escaped, as we say, by the skin of their teeth, managing just to get inside some hut that stood in the road and to shut the door. Then they could hear the wolves leap on the roof. They could hear them dash against the sides of the hut. They could hear them gnawing at the door, but the door was shut. They heard them howling and making all sorts of noises. But the travelers were safe because they had entered in by the door, and the door was still shut. Spurgeon then says this. Now, when a man is in Christ, please get this today, he can hear, as it were, the devils howling like wolves, all fierce and hungry for him. And his own sins, like wolves, are seeking to drag him down to destruction and hell. But he has entered into Christ. And that is such a shelter that all of the devils in all of the world, even if they were to come all at once, could not startle a single beam of that eternal refuge. Though heaven and earth shall pass away, it will stand fast. In John 10, verse 10, Jesus says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But he says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He says that you may have life. You don't have to wait for it. You can have it right now. Abundant life. Jesus is saying to you this morning, I am the door. Come through me, and that life is all yours. What about you? Have you entered through the door of Christ for salvation? If you haven't, you can right now. You can be saved right where you're at. The Bible says if we confess our sins, repent of those sins, we turn away from them, and we put our faith in Jesus, call upon Him to save us, He will save you right now, right where you're at. Listen, His invitation doesn't get any more clear. There is no other door. Friend, you may have been trying to go through some other door. He says it's impossible. There's only one, and it's Christ. Come to Him today. He'll save you. He'll forgive you. He will bring you into the sheepfold. You will be His. He will be yours. He will know your name, and you will know His voice. I admonish you this morning, if you haven't, call out to Him. Ask Him to save you. Maybe pray just a simple prayer. God, please forgive me. I'm a sinner. Lord, forgive me. Come into my life and save my soul. Do that with sincerity this morning, and He'll save you right where you're at. You will enter into Him. And the way of salvation is all yours. I pray and I hope that you'll do that. Father, we thank You for another day, another morning. God, unlike what we wanted, as we desire to be together, God, we acknowledge again, as always, You are in control and sovereign over our situation. Lord, I pray that maybe this would be an opportunity for someone who is not saved to hear this message. Lord, they would hear about You. They would hear about the door that You are. They would enter through that door, and You would give them eternal life as you have promised to do. Lord, we thank You for Your love and Your mercy, protecting us as the sheep of Your flock. We know that nothing can separate us from Your love. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.